Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Jennifer Jewell is a radio show host, gardener, author, writer, speaker, and creator of Cultivating Place. Her most recent book is What We Sow. It's on the personal, ecological, and cultural significance of seeds. Came out last month. Welcome to the program, Jennifer.
Thank you so much, Joey and Holly. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much for taking time out of your day, not only to educate Holly and myself, but all of our listeners.
So what was your garden and composting inspiration? Was this something that you've done like your whole life or something you learned about, you know, later on in life? What was your inspiration? Where did it come from?
Well, you know, I grew up very luckily and fortunately the second daughter of three daughters of a professional gardening mother. And she was a floral designer, a garden designer, and a home vegetable gardener and a wildlife biologist father. So between them, we really covered all the ecosystems of native plants, their flora and their fauna in the ecosystems around us. And I grew up at 8,000 feet in Colorado on the Front Range of the Rocky Mountains. And it was some pretty rugged gardening at that climate and zone. And but my parents both loved being outside and loved being familiar and knowledgeable about all the lives around them. And I think their model really raised us all to enjoy gardening and sort of the natural history of our places. And that has just held for me throughout my life, but became maybe really important when I had my own children and wanted to make sure they were offered that same sense of joy and comfort with the land and lives around them, no matter where they were.
Well, you helped co-produce a natural history exhibit at the Gateway Science Museum and other museums. Please share with us more about some of these exhibits and why people would find them interesting to visit.
Yeah. You know, I started my public radio program and podcast first as a local program in 2007. And then in 2016, it grew up into the nationally syndicated podcast Cultivating Place. At the same time that I was producing my local program, I was the native plant garden curator at Gateway Science Museum, which is a natural history museum on the campus of California State University, Chico. And as the native plant garden curator, it became clear to me that there were ways to engage visitors to the museum with the garden and the lives and the cycles of the native plant garden in the museum itself as well. And so together with my partner, plantsman John Whittlesey, we have now produced four different exhibits. The first one was on pollinators of Northern California and the Western states generally. The second one was on mushrooms of Northern California and the Western states generally. The third was on the seed distribution patterns and forms and mechanisms of native plants of California. And of course, those native plants include genera and families that are familiar with people wherever they live. And then the final one is actually up right now at Gateway Science Museum, and it's called Bombus. And it is about the natural history of bumblebees and why they are such important pollinators in their ecosystems. And I think one of the reasons that people would enjoy visiting the exhibits wherever they might be up right now is that they add this really dynamic visual and in-depth view into just one cross-section of what we're offered when we're out in the garden or on the trail, wherever we are. And they kind of bring details to life that makes us more observant and appreciative, I think, when we're in the garden or on the trail in real life.
Fantastic. Sounds very interesting. So your newest book is what is called What We Sow. It's on the personal, ecological, and cultural significance of seeds. Can you please tell us more about it? Maybe what might be an interesting part of it or a synopsis that would help pique our, you know, our listeners' interest to pick up a copy?
Yeah. You know, I think as gardeners or people who just enjoy nature in all of its forms, we are often enjoying flowers, we're enjoying produce, we're enjoying the effect of a total landscape. And we sometimes forget the very like essential smallest units that those experiences are based on. And I think it's analogous in some way to the work of Dr. Doug Tallamy and his getting us as gardeners to focus on the importance of native plants, but the importance of them because they feed our insects and their caterpillars. And those insects and caterpillars are what the rest of the food chain is reliant on in order to succeed and prosper. And when we hit the COVID-19 shutdown, I was really faced with this question, as we all were, of, you know, what is essential and what do we need to have in our lives so that they are happy and healthy and productive? And as a gardener, one answer to that question was seed. And when I started to do more research into where our seed grows and how it is grown and how it gets to us wherever we are, and this might be seed for food, it might be seed for flowers, it might be seed for the restoration of the native ecosystems of our areas. These are all areas where we're seeing a lot of seed needed and purchased and shipped and then sown. And I realized, especially during the pandemic, when it seemed like we were having some bottlenecks, if not outright scarcity, in our seed supply, that I, as a gardener, needed to know a lot more about how seed is stewarded in our world. And so I kind of took this several year journey, which I distilled down into 1 year in the book, into researching all of these different facets of how seed shows up in our lives and why it is really critically important to me to be paying more attention and care about all of these pathways for seed in our lives.
Well, and 100 years ago, we had so many more varieties than what we have now. Through the time and progression of whatever mistakes we as humans have made, we've lost so much of that. So if we fast forward another 50 or 60 years, how many of the things do we have now that we won't have then, that as stewards we could save and continue those traits that otherwise would be lost?
Exactly. Exactly. And so I think, you know, as we see ourselves, especially I think this was highlighted, Joey and Holly, by the pandemic, as we see how distant we've become as a society from these aspects of life that really feed us, you know, whether it's our gardens or the seed, I think it's really more important than ever that we are more knowledgeable and intimately engaged with these cycles so that we can be those stewards, right? And we can say, yes, I grew this, I saved the seed, I shared it with my neighbors, and I sowed it again this year. But we can also support the small independent organic growers who are stewarding really well for us. And we can vote with our dollars and our actual ballots for the ways in which we want land and ecosystems and plant life generally cared for in our world. You know, I kept, during the research for the book, I kept coming up against such challenging realities. For instance, that, you know, 60% of our seed in the world is owned outright by four large international petrochemical pharmaceutical corporations. And it kind of makes you wonder, like, you know, is that really what we want? This legacy of plants and abundance and generosity and food and ecosystem, is that where we want it held? And for me, the answer is no, that isn't where I want it held. I want it to be held in the commons and cared for communally.
Well, and those big corporations, they are only looking at, hey, that doesn't sell, get rid of it. That does sell, mm-hmm. make more of that. And,
right,
that, and that's
right.
how we can lose some of these very unique and specific and valuable seeds and plants in which we have now.
Exactly. You know, and I, despite all of the very depressing statistics and research that I report on in the book, like those corporations and that 60% and the number of GMOs and the amount of insecticide and pesticide that are coating our seeds in the larger industrial fields of seeds, I also kept coming across the multitude and diversity of humans who are out there really working hard to steward seed, care for it, and ensure the biodiversity continues forward as the gift that was given to us by the past, and that we are in charge of making sure moves into the future.
Well, many people don't know where to start when composting. What would you recommend for the beginner composter? What are some good starting points?
Well, the first one, right? I mean, this is just like the seed cycle, right? Is just do it. Just like take your food scraps, take your garden biomass waste, your prunings from your, you know, perennials that you might be cutting back a little bit right now, and just chop it up and get it into a pile. Now, if you want to get more complicated, get yourself a little bin and put in everything. Once you start to feel comfortable with that and turning it on a sort of regular basis. I mean, it will compost no matter what, because that is what the carbon cycle does for us. But if you turn it and or make sure that it is kept uniformly moist over time, it will break down into really rich compost so much faster. And once you get into the habit of putting your, you know, vegetable food waste, your eggshells, your coffee grinds out into a compost pile or bin, then you can start thinking about, okay, is it too wet? Does it smell sort of badly? And starting to get more familiar with layering the green nitrogen elements, such as fresh grass or your fresh food waste from the kitchen, with the dry brown carbon waste, and layering them more uniformly so that you can mix the carbon and the nitrogen, and it will make even better compost even faster.
Fantastic. That's really great information. So you interview a lot of people, as do we. What's one interview you will never forget, or one guest you had that you will never forget, and why was it so significant?
Wow, this was such a tough question. This is such a good question, but a tough one, because like you, you know, it's sort of like picking our favorite babies, right? But I would say that one of the most gratifying and memorable interviews I have had, both in person and on the Cultivating Place program and podcast, was my interview with Jamaica Kincaid. Jamaica Kincaid is an African-American woman who many readers, or listeners rather, will be familiar with. They may have read some of her work. Her most important garden variety work was called My Garden Book. That was published in 1995 and was the compilation of a series of essays she published in the New Yorker magazine in the 1990s. And she really highlighted, maybe more than anyone else had done to that time, the importance of seeing world history in the plants that we chose for our gardens. That could be the vegetable seed we sow, it could be the flowers we grow, it could be the trees that are present in our landscape, but that our history as humans can be found in the history of those plants and how they have moved around the world and how they have been valued and used by different cultures. She was an interview. This was a very interesting experience. She was an interview I was supposed to hold in person with a live audience on March, I think it was the 15th in 2020.
And we all know what happened that day.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And I was like driving into New York City. I was headed to the New York Botanical Garden. I was getting all these phone calls. We're going to do it. We're not going to do it. We're going to be in person. We're going to just have you in Jamaica in person, no audience. And it was hectic and terrifying and by the seat of my pants. And it was one of the most beautiful conversations of just me and Jamaica Kincaid sitting on the ledge of a fountain in the conservatory at the New York Botanical Garden and really engaging around this idea of how ancient and sacred and powerful the act of gardening is, no matter who you are or where you come from. And that's just really seared on my heart, that conversation with her.
Well, Jennifer, we greatly appreciate the time you've offered Holly, myself, and all of our listeners. How can our listeners find you and get your book?
Oh, I so appreciate that. And thank you for having me. Definitely head over to my website, cultivatingplace.com. There's a drop-down tab for the podcast. You can hear past episodes, and you can subscribe. You can order a book that I would send off to you signed. But you can also find the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. It's called Cultivating Place. And you can find the book wherever you get your books. And I definitely recommend independent bookstores. You should be supporting them. And if you, no matter where you buy a book of mine, if you would like a signed book plate, feel free to drop me an email, cultivatingplace@gmail.com. And I will send you a signed book plate in the mail happily.
Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for your time and the knowledge you've shared with us.
Oh, thank you guys. And keep doing your great growing work. I'm so proud to have been on your program.
Thank you very much.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.